May the Lord help us to commence our worship today with hymn number 314. 314. How sore a plague is sin to those by whom 'tis felt. The Christian cries, unclean, unclean, e'en though released from guilt. Hymn 314.
Thank you. Our reading from God's holy word this morning you'll find in the book of Hebrews and chapter 11. The book of Hebrews and chapter 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed or completed by the word of God. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper or handsome child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. And by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. We'll leave the reading of God's holy word there. May we have been instructed through the reading of it, and each one of us now be given help to rightly pray. Oh, most holy, almighty and ever merciful Lord God, help us rightly to come unto thee now in prayer by faith. By faith in believing that thou art a prayer hearing, a prayer answering God. By faith, believing that we have access unto thee through that great mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, now seated at thy right hand, who ever liveth to intercede for us. By faith, Lord, enable us to pour out our needs and thanksgivings and confessions unto thee now, at the commencement of this thy day, and our worship here today. And yet, Lord, we know that in and of ourselves we will be full of unbelief. We have to prove more and more that sin is mixed with all we do. And yet, Lord, may we come with thankfulness this morning, that despite our unworthiness, despite our many shortcomings, we can come unto thee now. We can come to worship. We still have that desire to seek thy face. We have not been left to that which we would have fallen to, left to ourselves. Thy restraining hand has been upon us. And to this very day, we have to say, we are kept. And yet, Lord, how solemn it is if we are just kept to attend a place of worship and are not kept to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And Lord, implant in the hearts of everyone that desire to know my Jesus crucified, which by far excels all else beside. For Lord, thou knowest how all have come in this morning, whether there are those that are careless, whether those that are indifferent, whether there are those that are far off, whether there are those that are seeking, whether those that are longing for a visit from thee. Lord, whatever their case is, thou knowest. But through our gathering together, Lord, may something be done for thine honour and glory. May hearts be lifted up unto thee, encouraged in the way, drawn by thy love. We may not gather in vain, for this may be the last time we gather. There will be a last time, and we always think this will not be the last time, but it may be. It may be. Lord, for heaven, are our credentials clear? By faith, are we looking unto Jesus? By faith, do we see a beauty and sufficiency in that sin-atoning sacrifice? By faith, are we sheltering beneath the blood? Oh, are we looking to the Lamb of God? Are we looking, despite our unworthiness, to that one that was slain? Lord, we pray today, one and another may be led to cry with the disciples, Lord, increase our faith, that we may carry on in this journey, that we may be given strength to walk on. For it truly feels a wilderness at times to thy people. And yet, Lord, if it feels like that to one and another, may they be given that understanding and thankfulness that it does feel a wilderness. That despite that they may cry out, O wretched man that I am, time and time again, Lord, that they may see it is only by thy free grace and mercy they have been brought to that point. And yet, Lord, we cannot grovel in the dust forever. Draw our eyes heavenward again, even today, that we may see the Lamb of God, that we may find peace flowing from thy crucified Son, that we may lay ourselves humbly at the feet of Jesus and find ourselves washed in that cleansing flood. Lord, cleanse us from sin's guilt and power, that we may be led to walk in that right way while we are on this earth below. Oh, what a solemn thing it is if any of us are a stumbling block. Lord, if any of our conduct does not match that which we profess to believe. Lord, if our outward walk does not marry with the fruit of the Spirit. Lord, does it concern us? Does it trouble us? Oh Lord, may we be led in that narrow way which leads to life eternal. So Lord, meet with us today. All that are here, Lord, thou knowest how they have come. We pray for the children here this morning. And the young people, do give them those ears to hear. Help us to simply lay thy word before them so that they may understand, so that they may rest upon thy word likewise. For none are too young, Lord, to know thee. None are too young to be led to thee. None are too young, Lord, to profess their faith in thee. Lord, we pray that thou wilt work mightily in the children and the young people, and that thou wilt keep them attending a place of worship, not just for numbers' sake, but that they may come and find peace here, that they may find this place a sanctuary to them, a resting place where they can find somewhere where they can go and escape, as it were, the troubles of this life. Thou knowest the snares and temptations that surround the children and the young people especially, whether they are in school or whether they are at home, Lord. We each have those temptations round about us, Lord, and we pray that they may all be kept, they may be given those right friendships, and Lord, may be helped in all their needs. Those that may have exams this year, those that may have things before them that they need that help in, may they be given a praying spirit even while they are young. And those that have gone or are going into further education and employment, Lord, may they be given much prayer that the right doors may be opened for them, that they may see thy providential hand in their lives. And where there are those disappointments, those upsets, those things which they cannot fathom at the time, may they be given grace to look back and see thy loving hand in it all. We pray for those in the midst of life, in employment, in business, and in all that they may do. Lord, we pray that they may be given that help day by day. And those that have children, we pray for them that they may be given much wisdom to bring them up in the day in which we live, Lord. And for we live in a time where, as parents, we have such a responsibility. Oh Lord, it has ever been the case, but thou knowest the pulls that are upon them, to increase our understanding of what is going on, that we may be that right example in this day. But Lord, in the midst of our busy lives, may we not say we are too busy to seek thy face, that we are not too busy to attend the means of grace. For Lord, surely there is a mirror on our heart. Surely there is a mirror upon our desires. And what is first? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, Lord, but we can't in of ourselves. We seek ourselves. We seek everything else but thee. So, Lord, we pray for those with so much in their lives that they may be given much grace to look on. Those that need direction, Lord, help them. Those that need encouragement, Lord, draw near to them. But, Lord, we pray for them each. But those that are drawing near the latter part of their life, those that know that they are cannot have many decades left or years left or maybe months left, Lord, may they know that thou art with them still. Lord, we tremble, for there are but two destinations, heaven and hell. Lord, we pray that there may be that comfort given to those as they age, that they may know that thou art with them still, may have those fresh manifestations of thy love and feel thy sweet presence with them continually. We pray for those in positions of responsibility in the church here, the deacons especially, help them in all that they do. Lord, do give them wisdom, give them encouragement, help them in the way that is ahead of them. Thou knowest their thoughts, their concerns, their pathway. Do give them much grace, we pray, as they lead this church in that way. Lord, we would ask that thou wilt be with the church as a whole. Give them that help, Lord, that unity, that love. Bind them together, Lord, and we pray, increase them. May many be added to them this year. May this pool be opened before us this year. Lord, do not delay, Lord, we pray. For thine honour and glory, may many be added to the church as thou hast clearly commanded in thy word. Lord, may we look to thy word, be instructed through it. And Lord, may we see that increase, that thy name may be truly praised. And we pray for the congregation here, Lord, to be with them each. Help them to support one another. Help them to be much in prayer one for another. And Lord, do go before them all. Add many to them, we pray. Work mightily in this village and the surrounding villages. Lord, may many be drawn to come here. Those that may listen in even today, and have not come and venture to worship with them. May they be drawn in and may we be given that grace to accept them as they come and watch and see that work within them. Lord, build this place up, we pray. We truly beg. And all those places that we worship in and gather in week by week, wherever we may preach, Lord, we pray that we may likewise see that increase. Lord, it will come from outside. Yes, we want those to return, Lord, that have left. But Lord, if there is a true increase, it will be from those that are outside. So bring them in, we pray, and may we all be those right examples in our daily lives and not be ashamed of Jesus, that dear friend on whom our hopes of heaven depend. We pray for those that mourn the loss of loved ones at this time. Lord, there are many that are bereaved in these past few months. Lord, we pray for them each. We pray for those churches likewise that are bereaved with the loss of pastors and faithful members of the congregation. Lord, we pray that thou wilt be with each that grieve. And yet, Lord, may they not mourn as those without hope. And Lord, we would pray that thou wilt truly be with all those that preach the word in this place week by week. May there be that flowing together, and may there be, the Lord, those encouragements for all that gather here. Lord, we pray for our land and our nation at this time. Lord, we know that we are ripe for thy judgment. And yet, Lord, we are thankful that thy hand is still being seen in the politics of this nation. Lord, we return thanks for the resignation of Nicola Sturgeon at this time. Lord, we have seen the utter confusion that she has been led to. Lord, turn our nation again to thy word. Cause them to understand the foolishness of claiming that we are what we are not, and we are not what we are, Lord. We are man and woman as thou hast created us, Lord, and we can be nothing else. Lord, we give thanks that there has been such confusion, and we give thanks that there are many that have been brought to see the foolishness of these ideologies that are being pushed upon us. Lord, further increase the confusion. Further increase it, Lord, we pray, that we may turn again to thy word, that we may turn again to that which the developed West has been built upon, thy word and that which is contained therein. Lord, may those wrong relationships be claimed as wrong, and may we not be afraid to say they are wrong, but in that loving way. Lord, may we stand fast for that which is right. And Lord, may we stand fast to the slaughter of the many millions of unborn that there are in this land too, and not be ashamed, Lord, to say things as they are. Lord, may we not become accustomed to these things. Lord, may they ever grieve us. And Lord, we truly tremble that we can so quickly slide into a complacent spirit. Keep us fervent, Lord. Keep us in that narrow way which leads to life eternal. And Lord, may we truly see our lands turning again. But Lord, we gather today, not looking to our land. We gather today looking to thee and to worship thee. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt know, that we will know, and that thou wilt come into our midst, so that we may know this day the power of thy Spirit. Lord, that's what we need. The power of the Spirit to prepare the hearts of the people. Oh, almighty God, do it, we pray. Prepare the hearts of the people now to receive that word. And may that word come with power by thy blessed Spirit, that it may abide and do good this day, so that one and another may be strengthened, may be encouraged, may be cast down. Whatever, Lord, is required today, Lord, by thy grace, supply it, we beg. But, Lord, we need those supplies too as we stand here. Oh, Lord, we truly beg. Give us every word to speak. Lord, lead us not to confusion. And, Lord, give us that clarity of mind. For, Lord, we know that without thee we can do nothing. And yet may we prove again that we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So give us that strength, Lord, to lay thy word before the people and give them those ears to hear. Forgive all that we have asked wrongly and that which we have forgotten to pray for, Lord. May our prayer, our cry be a united cry this morning, and may there have been much prayer in the pew. And do intercede for us, dear Lord Jesus, for we ask all in and through thy precious name and blood. Amen.
Hymn number 739. No help in self I find, and yet have sought it well. The native treasure of my mind is sin and death and hell. To Christ for help I fly, the friend of sinners lost, a refuge sweet and sure and nigh, and there is all my trust. Hymn 739.
May the Lord be pleased to help us all here as we gather this morning. Will you turn with me, please, to the chapter that we read, the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and the first three words in verse 24. But I'll read from verse 24 to the end of verse 29. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. By faith, Moses. We could have chosen any of these godly men and women from this chapter this morning. By faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith Gideon, by faith Barak, by faith Samson, by faith Samuel. But the question this morning is, Can you insert your name after these two words, by faith? This, dear friends, is probably one of the most well-known chapters that we have in the New Testament. And rightly so, because it sets before us clearly the pathway that the believer must walk in. And it is a pathway of faith. And it is a pathway of faith that is tried. And yet, however tried that pathway is, that faith is, the believer cannot let go. Cannot let go, because they've got nothing else to look to. So as the Lord may help us this morning to look at this word faith, what it means and how it manifests in our lives, and to look at how it affected Moses' life. And as the Lord may help us to draw our eyes to likewise this morning look forward by faith. By faith, Moses, in Hebrews 11, 24. By faith, Moses. So we'll start this morning. What is faith? We have in the first verse of this 11th chapter of Hebrews, don't we? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Let's start simply this morning. You children and young people here, we are still at the start of a year. And you may look forward to this year, and there may be something that you hope will happen. Those that have exams, you may hope you get the grades you need. Those that have something exciting planned for later on in the year, you hope that it will happen. But with all those things I have just mentioned, that hope is dependent upon something that either we can do or have to do, or something that we are reliant upon somebody else to do for us. The faith that we have of in Hebrews 11 is a faith that is built on something that is unchanging. That word substance in that first verse, it implies an underlying solidness, an unshakable foundation. And that unshakable foundation is the Word of God, the promises of God, and the sin-atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. All throughout Hebrews, really one chapter follows another, which follows another. So this faith that we read of in the first verse of chapter 11 is linked, isn't it? Linked to what? Linked to that perfect sacrifice we read of in chapter 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And all these godly men and women we have read of this morning, they were looking to Christ through faith. Looking to that which they couldn't see, but that they hoped for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We read elsewhere, don't we? We must walk by faith and not by sight. Is there one here this morning who is trying to walk by sight and not by faith? Laying down those lines for the Lord to walk in. Lord, if you show me this, give me a sight of that, give me a sight of the other, then I will walk by faith. Then I will do this, then I will do that. Dear friends, faith is the humble trust upon God. And the Puritans, I may have said it here, I can't remember, but they often used to describe faith as having these, and these are my own words, but having these three components. True faith must, to start with, be built upon something that we know. For you and I to have faith in anything, we must know something about it. There must be that content that is the foundation of that faith. And yet we could know the whole Bible, word perfect from cover to cover. Many atheists know far more about the Bible than you and I do. They have a knowledge. And we shouldn't despise a knowledge, and we shouldn't despise a head knowledge. We should search the scriptures. We should know our Bibles. It's what the Bereans did, wasn't it? They searched the scriptures. They were always in the Word. And it was a commendation that they were so in Acts 17. That they were like that. But that's just one part of faith. A knowledge of the Word of God. The second part is a belief. That what we know is true. And that is what we have in the sixth verse of Hebrews 11, isn't it? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It moves on to a knowledge, to a belief. That what the Word of God says is actually true. But dear friends, that's not enough either. What do we read in James chapter 2 and verse 19? Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. The final point of true God-given faith is this: trust. Trust. We sung, didn't we, in that hymn just now? To Christ for help I fly, the friend of sinners lost, a refuge sweet and sure and nigh. And there is all my trust. Lord, grant me free access unto thy pierced side. For there I seek my dwelling place, and there my guilt would hide. Yes, Lord, I know something. Yes, Lord, I believe thy word is true. But now I trust in thy word, because I've got nothing else to trust in. It's all I can look to. And that's what we have set so clearly before us in this book of Hebrews, isn't it? They had every reason to doubt. Every reason to think, that's an impossibility. We think of Abraham, and we have contained in Romans that passage about Abraham's faith and how he was justified by that faith. And we have that verse in Romans 4:18, who against hope believed in hope. And that sounds like a funny sentence, doesn't it? Who against hope believed in hope. Almost to say that it's an impossibility to believe that, but I'm still going to believe it anyway because God has spoken it. And you know, that's how many look upon those that profess a faith in Christ. You must be crazy to believe what you believe. You're giving up this. You're forsaking that. You're giving up one day in seven to go and worship a God you've never seen. But dear friends, are we believing in hope? Yes, the devil will tempt us to say, surely there can be no God. The devil may tempt you when you are brought very low into a trial of faith. The Lord wouldn't lead me in this way if he was truly my God. Maybe we will touch upon that later, the trial of faith. But dear friends, Abraham hoped. Against hope, believed in hope. Maybe we should just ponder that for a moment. Abraham, been promised that through him and through his seed would be raised up a mighty nation. When he was in old age and in that impossibility, a son was given to him. And then he was told to slay that son. Surely that cannot be right. Surely, God, what you have spoken and told me cannot be right. Yes, you promised me this, and now you're promising me what will destroy what you've promised. That cannot be right. We can often look at these godly characters, and I don't want to judge them by my own sinful, doubting character, but they were men. They were women like you and I. They would have had those doubts and fears. And when we read of Abraham arising early in the morning, do you think he arose early because he just wanted to go and sacrifice his son? Or do you think he arose early because it tossed and turned all night long with doubts and fears about what the Lord had told him? He went by faith, but that faith would have been tried. Jacob's faith would have been tried. And Moses' faith would have been tried. But they had nowhere else to turn. They had nothing else to trust in. They tried everything else and they rested upon their God. That's what true trust does, isn't it? It provides a rest which the world knows nothing of. So let us maybe look at the example of Moses. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. If ever we make any right choice in this life, it's only as the Lord directs us. We have, and I turned it up in the vestry, that hymn number 940. Loved of my God, for him again with love intense I'd burn. Chosen of thee, ere time began, I choose thee in return. We only can have any affection and love and trust and hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. We only love him, why? Because he first loved us. We can only choose him, as it were, because he has first chosen us. Moses could only choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God because God had given him faith to trust in him. And what a choice that was for Moses. Been brought up from a baby in a rich palace. Had that great education. Knew all there was to know, would have been trained in everything, lived in opulent wealth, surrounded by all that the natural man could ever want. And yet Moses chose to leave it all. It's described by Stephen, isn't it, in Acts chapter 7, that Moses there gave up so much. Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. For 40 years, Moses had been brought up in the wisdom of the Egyptians, surrounded by might and power, and by faith. By faith, his heart was drawn to his people. By faith, his heart was drawn to his God, to obey his God. And he was made willing to suffer affliction with the people of God. The question this morning for you is this. Have you been made willing to suffer affliction with the people of God? Has the Lord worked in your heart and given you that precious gift of faith to follow the people of God? To suffer affliction. Choosing to suffer. We make choices every day. Every moment of every day. Dear friends, we choose to sin. We have that within us by nature, which longs to sin. We are drawn by the attractions of the world. We each have different things within us which we lust after. And whenever we make a choice in life, that choice is based on something. We may choose what to eat. We may choose what to wear. We may choose all manner of things throughout the day. It's based on something. When we choose to sin, we sin really because of this reason. We think it would be more enjoyable for us to sin than to not sin. And why is that? Because our mind is drawn away from our God to that sin. And that, dear friends, by God's grace, is the only thing that will keep us from sinning. It's to have our eyes looking unto Jesus by faith. We make those choices. Moses made those choices. Eve
chose to sin as she was tempted. But Moses saw something through faith that made him willing to suffer affliction with the people of God. Made willing. We read, don't we, of Matthew, in the Gospel of Matthew, where he speaks, writes of himself, doesn't he? He was made willing to make that choice to forsake his tax collector's seat and to follow after Christ. As Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. What a thing. Left it, just literally walked away and followed Jesus. Where he was going, what tomorrow would bring. Doubts and fears were removed as he looked to Jesus and followed him. And maybe that's where you are. You may be like Matthew, sitting at the receipt of custom, sitting in your life, and Jesus may, as it were, pass by. Has he spoken to you, follow me? Has he spoken to you, arise? And yet you say, well, what about tomorrow? What about this? What about that? We walk by faith and not by sight, made willing to forsake all and follow him. That wasn't the case with the account of the rich young ruler. He couldn't make that choice to forsake his wealth, could he? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. The same words as to Matthew. But no, the young man didn't have faith, did he? He went away sorrowful. Why? For he had great possessions. He valued his earthly treasures more than Christ. So he didn't follow. Moses, though, made that choice by faith. Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. But the people of God, you may say, what's the attraction? What's the attraction to suffer affliction with the people of God? There is, dear friends, a rest in Christ. We read in Hebrews 4, verse 9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Is that what your soul is looking for this morning? A rest. It's for the people of God. Those that look to Jesus. Those who rest under the blood of Christ. Those who by faith see that Christ is the friend of sinners. That Christ came to save sinners. It's to those that look by faith that that rest is for. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. It's those that find that beauty in his mercy to the people of God, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. The people of God find through faith the beauty of God's mercy. And they sing, as in that hymn, beautiful hymn 11, thy mercy, my God, is the theme of my song. They find that they can forsake all by faith and look to that mercy. Look to it. You know, it's such a sweet hymn, isn't it? That hymn number 11.
Do you have to say, without thy sweet mercy I could not live here? Sin soon would reduce me to utter despair. But through thy free goodness my spirits revive, and he that first made me still keeps me alive. How? By faith. By faith, the people of God. By faith made willing to suffer affliction with the people of God, knowing that they will find rest, knowing that they will find mercy, and they will not feel it all the time. But they trudge on, they walk on through the wilderness of life, looking by faith unto Jesus. That is the name of Jesus, isn't it? Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save who? His people from their sins. That's why Moses made that choice. Because he could see by faith the rest, the mercy, the forgiveness of sins that the people of God knew. And he looked to the pleasures of sin, the pleasures of this earth, and he could see by faith that they would all go. And I was only speaking to someone yesterday, and we were discussing wealthy people that we work for, and how sometimes you will work for someone, multimillionaires, huge dwellings, houses, but you know what? They've still got four walls, a roof and a floor. It doesn't matter how much money you've got, you still have to have a bed to sleep on. And when you shut your eyes and rest in sleep, it doesn't matter how big the bedroom is, how big the bed is, you find rest in your sleep. And it so came to me, that's like the child of God, isn't it? They find rest and what the world would scorn and laugh at. They find rest in poverty. They find rest in affliction. They find rest in distress. How? Only looking unto Jesus. Yes, they may not have the opulent palace. They may not have and be surrounded by all that the world can offer. But they have something the world can't offer. They have something the world cannot see. They have something the world cannot forsake. Moses by faith saw it. Moses by faith forsook it. Moses by faith walked with the people of God. Only as he looked forward, which we will come to now, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, verse 26, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. There is that verse, and I can't think of it correctly. A little that a righteous man hath is greater than many riches. It's something like that, isn't it? The little that that righteous man has. That little. That little faith. Maybe that's where you are. But my faith is so little. A little that a righteous man hath. But that faith seems to be blocked out at the moment. I cannot glimpse that Christ. I see my faith is gone. But if I was to say to you this morning, what if we could remove Christ? What would you say then? You can't. That's what I'm looking to. You're looking to it. Looking to it by faith. Yes, you may not have the view that you want. Yes, you may not have that certainty that you want, but you're still looking by faith. How do you think they went through the Red Sea? How do you think they passed through that Red Sea? Mountains either side, the sea before them, the charging Egyptians behind them, waiting to destroy them. What could they do? And what can you do? There's only one way to go, isn't there? By faith, through the Red Sea. And what do you say? But what if the wind stops? What if the waves come crashing down again? What if my feet get stuck in the muddy bottom of the sea? What if the Egyptians catch me up? By faith, dear friends. By faith, they pass through the Red Sea. As dry land. By faith, They carried on going forwards. How? Looking. Looking. Looking to the other side. Looking to the promise. Looking to that which God had said would come to pass. That's how they went. And yet, that's our problem. That's my problem anyway, even if it's not yours. So often I find that I'm not looking forward anymore. I'm looking down, or I'm looking round about, or I'm looking within. And what then? Our faith falters. Our faith fails. Our knees begin to tremble because we look at how wretched we are. We look at how undone we are. We think, how can God possibly have mercy upon such a sinner as me? How can I possibly be brought into that promised land at last? And yet when we're brought low, there's only one way we can look, isn't there? And that's up. And our eyes are drawn again, aren't they? They're not drawn again to the riches in Christ Jesus. The riches in him. And that's what we see, don't we, as we go into that 12th chapter. Where we have had, in that 11th chapter, that great list of witnesses. Seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. All those that have gone before, all those records that we have. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. But maybe your thought is, I cannot forsake that sin. We're told to lay aside those weights, and maybe you've tried. Maybe you've tried and you can't. And you've tried to remove that from your life and you can't. And you've looked and you've got up and you've said, right, I'm not going to do that anymore. Now this has happened in my life. And you can't. And do you know why? It's because you're looking to yourself. It's because the weight that is upon your back, you're trying to remove yourself. How do we read those weights drop off? Those sins which do so easily beset us. How can we run with patience the race that is set before us? Not looking to the sin. Not looking to the weight. Not looking to the length and difficulty of the race before us. But looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And you know what? That's the way, isn't it? Have you proved it? As your eyes have been drawn again to look unto Jesus, the weight has gone. That sin which so easily beset you has now fallen away. Why? Because your hope is again on Christ. You're looking again to Jesus. Yes, you're so cast down still. But your eyes have been given again that strength to look through faith to a crucified Saviour. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. All by faith. But this faith, dear friends, lest we get confused, is not in us by nature. Not at all. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Faith is God given. But God answers prayer. Do you find yourself crying with the disciples? Lord, increase our faith. Do you find yourself crying with that man? Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Looking by faith.
It's not in us by nature. It's not something we cultivate and grow. It's a God-given gift. That's where Moses looked. That's where Abraham looked. That's where Noah looked, by faith. Is that where you're looking this morning? Looking unto Jesus. Considering him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Considering him. Meditation upon the sufferings of Christ. Meditation upon the sufficiency of that sacrifice. Do you think you can out-sin his mercy, his love and his grace? That's what the devil will tempt you. You're too wicked. You know that when you did in your youth. You know that pathway you walked for many years. You know what you were led into. You have out-sinned God's love and mercy. That's impossible. It was an all-sufficient sacrifice to atone for all the sins of his chosen people. An all-sufficient sacrifice. By faith. Do you want something more than faith? You know, faith, as we started off by saying, is not some airy-fairy, unsubstantial cloud. It is, has substance, it has depth, it has strength to it. It's God-given. It enables the children of God to walk in the way he has commanded. Noah did it. Abraham did it. Moses did it. Are we doing it? Walking by faith. By faith, Moses. He looked to that to come. And what are we basing our future on? What we see. What we actually see of ourselves, we can't base our future on that. It's only by faith, looking to those greater riches, in Christ. We have that beautiful hymn, number 1106, don't we? My hope is built. Does this describe you this morning? On nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. His oath, his covenant and his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. That was Moses' hope, wasn't it? That was his hope. And that's what we have in Exodus 3, isn't it? So many doubts, so many fears that Moses had. Surrounded by them, wasn't he? Moses said unto God, who am I? Who am I that I should do, that I should go unto Pharaoh? How can I do what thou hast told me? And again, so many times, Moses answered, said to God, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. Moses said, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore. No, Moses, you are not strong enough in yourself. But Moses said, God said to Moses, I will be with thee. I'll give thee the words to speak. I'll help thee. I'll be by thy side. As I was with Abraham, as I was with Isaac, as I was with Jacob. I will be with thee, Moses, too. Moses rested on that. Moses said, yes, Lord. I doubt I'm the man. I see nothing in myself that is good or is suitable for the work you have called me to. But you've said it. So I must trust in it. Knowing that you're far wiser than me. And that, dear friends, is the substance of our faith. It's not built on man. It's not built on others' promises. It's not built on something that can fall and fade away. It is built upon an omnipotent, unchanging God. That's how Moses walked by faith. That's how they all walked by faith. And that's how we must walk, dear friends. By faith, Moses. Can you insert your name this morning after these two words? By faith. Amen.
God willing, Sunday school this afternoon will be at Bethany. And the collections today are for those so terribly affected by the earthquake in Turkey and Syria. God willing, Mr. Tim Parrish is expected to preach on Tuesday evening and next Lord's Day. And next Lord's Day he hopes to address the Sunday school and present the prizes. Our closing hymn is 984. 984. Hark how the gospel trumpet sounds. Christ and free grace therein abounds. Free grace to such as sinners be. And if free grace, why not for me? Hymn 984.
Thank you.
Oh, dear Lord, we come now in prayer at the close of this service. And enable all here to walk by faith. And Lord, may our cry ever be, Lord, increase our faith. As we journey onwards here below. So bless that which has been of thee in our worship this morning and that which has been of ourselves, Lord, do, we pray, forgive. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us each. Amen.